WildTalkRadio.com.
Wild Talk Radio presents to you the Monday Night Raw Post Show.
Come hell or high water, I am giving you Monday Night Raw. I am giving you a show tonight.
Featuring the likes of Sir Rocket.
Pipe Bomb.
Mace.
Where, oh, where are my WWE ice cream bars?
Lindsay Ward.
Wait, you want me to do commentary?
I want you to do commentary.
Can I wear your blazer?
You can even wear my blazer.
I'm in.
Jackie Feist.
You want to see the text message my little sister Shalene sent me last night? Here it is. OMG, Kevin Nash, WTF, thought he was dead, LOL.
And of course, you.
Hello, everybody. Sorry, I'm a little nervous. I've always really wanted to do this.
Give us a call and give us your take on what you thought of Monday Night Raw.
I have received an email. The Raw General Manager says, and I quote...
Now step into the ring with us for the Raw Post Show.
Well, enough is enough, and it's time for a change. Come and take your best shot. I tried to be a nice guy. I tried to play by the rules. You turned your backs on me. I snapped.
On his birthday, I figured it was fitting to play his theme song to open up the show.
Question is he rolling over right now? Based on what we saw tonight.
That's a good question. We'll ask that to everybody. Welcome, everybody, to the WTR Raw Post Show live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network at wildtalkradio.com. I am Sorokin, joined by Lindsay Ward and Jackie Feist.
Is this where we're supposed to talk?
This is where you're supposed to talk. We do the sound check, then I do the intro, and then you talk.
Okay, great with Paul Heyman, but no Kane. Screw the WWE today.
Yeah, we're going to get into this, but what the fuck was that?
We'll get into it.
Oh, that's where I'm scrolling up to my conversation with Lindsay, so I can read some of the comments. So I was using her Skype IM box as a notepad tonight.
Oh,
nice.
Wow.
By the way, hashtag CM Punk versus the Bear. Just fitting. Anyway.
No, it was Yogi and Boo Boo.
So, Monday Night Raw opened up with the man who is just as... who is Hulk Hogan, Steve Austin, and The Rock all wrapped up into one... John Laurinaitis. Yeah, he's not Taker, but he's Austin, Rock, and Hogan, all wrapped into one.
Yeah, and Taker's still better.
Big. I like 10 minutes in, I was tired of them using the word Big Johnny.
Yeah, Michael Cole, if you ever say that again in my presence, I'm gonna get in my car, I'm gonna find your ass, I'm gonna take a cane to your goddamn face. I am sick already of Big Johnny.
And he was
full funny when we heard it every once in a while.
Yeah,
but now with it constantly, it's no.
He was in full Big Johnny mode tonight too.
And he's a regular walking dick.
The whole show just started off very heel heavy, and when you start off the show showcasing the people that the fans don't want to see, that's actually a bad thing, believe it or not.
I want to see, because supposedly Raw was rewritten at least 3 times today, I want to see the first 2 drafts on how they opened that show and how they closed that show, because if they had done what they had done about towards the end of the show with Paul Heyman at the beginning of the show, that would have been a way better opening than what they actually did. Even though I love CM Punk to death, even he was not enough to save that segment. John Laurinaitis giving him a mic for 5 to 10 minutes where he just stands there and he talks ad nauseum is a great way to make people turn the fuck off. I mean, I was already done by the time Punk came out.
So this is where John Laurinaitis came out and basically said he will continue where Brock Cena left off.
Yeah.
That line about him saying that he is the authority in the WWE and nobody could challenge him would have been a perfect moment to have Hunter walk out and be like, fuck you, you asshole.
I
would have loved to have Stephanie or anybody else come out.
Yeah, Stephanie or Vince or somebody walk out. Because, yeah, having him say that and then have it be completely undisputed is crap. Because we all know John Laurinaitis is not the end-all be-all in that company.
I thought Vince was coming out. I was like, yeah, this would be the perfect time for Vince to come out and put him in this place. But no.
No one.
No. Because Hunter wasn't there. He was back at Stanford taking pictures with his brace on. Because he had to make it clear that he was wearing a brace.
Yeah, way to sell it now.
Yeah, a couple of days after the fact. So yeah, Laurinaitis rambles in the ring. It's like he just rambled, and he talked about his career in Japan. CM Punk came down, trashes that whole thing, and Laurinaitis made a stipulation throughout the night. No one can make fun of my voice, which leads into stuff later on in the show. The positive, Laurinaitis came off as a heel. The negative,
everything else.
No one cares that he's a heel and is in the main event of Over the Limit.
Yeah, I would just like to say that they jobbed Brock Lesnar for this.
Trending worldwide.
They jobbed Brock Lesnar for this people. Granted, we got Paul Heyman. Yay, we got Paul Heyman. But we also get John Laurinaitis versus John Cena at Over the Limit. Because they jobbed Brock Lesnar for this. Just saying.
We shall welcome our caller of the evening. Phantom, welcome to the show.
How are you doing tonight, Rock? All right. I'm going to try my best to keep this within two topics. One, I want to point out that John Laurinaitis is so bad, I did not hear one person boo John Cena tonight. That should tell everyone just how horrible John Laurinaitis is. No one booed Cena. As a matter of fact, I was happy to see Cena.
Apparently, from reports, live arena reports, it was a pro Cena crowd tonight.
Yeah, it was, but still, it was pro Cena crowd or anti Laurinaitis. The fact of the matter is, every crowd being anti Laurinaitis, like, you know, it's like, the best way you can get people to stop booing for any, I promise you, like, I would cheer for Jack Swagger if he were in a feud with John Laurinaitis, and I hate Jack Swagger. Like, yeah, I don't know anyone in the wrestling community I would despise enough to root for John Laurinaitis against. Honestly, like,
I'll put your theory to the test. Let me put your theory to the test. In one corner, you have the man who is a legend in Japan. You have the Hulk Hogan, Steve Austin, and the Rock of Japan. Big Johnny Laurinaitis in one corner, and in the other corner, the man who is undefeated at WrestleMania, Michael Cole.
I would cheer for Michael Cole over John Laurinaitis. I'm not gonna lie.
What about John Laurinaitis versus Tim Stein?
I would cheer for a meteor to strike the ring if it was Cole versus Laurinaitis.
If the third option were a cookie, I would pick the cookie.
No, you don't get the third option.
I pick the cookie.
Cookie's not the option. Sorry.
I still pick the cookie.
You're going to still Kane Kidd's cookie? How dare you?
I'm still pick the cookie. I still pick the cookie. I still pick the cookie.
Okay.
But, okay. But I will be honest. You were mentioning this earlier. Okay. Marinitis is gone. I'm through talking about him. Now, they got Brock Lesnar for this. Mm-hmm. They bring out Paul Heyman. I was excited to see Paul Heyman. You saw my earlier comment on this. I'm not going to mention it, on the air or whatever, just for the sake of, my reputation or whatever. But I was happy to see Paul Heyman. What I wasn't happy to see was him reading this ridiculously long statement saying that Brock Lesnar quit, even though, we know he signed this, extensive deal with WWE and all this other stuff. Why waste Paul Heyman on that one segment? Why do you bring Brock Lesnar in and job him to John Cena for all of this, and then all of a sudden he just walks out? I would put it past Brock Lesnar to just up and quit. He's done it before. But there's something behind this. I'm hoping that there's something more behind this than what they're actually trying to tell us. I'm really hoping that him quitting is storyline instead of,
Well, they're trying to get people to believe that he quit. And the majority of fans don't know how his extensive deal with WWE. So it's those people they're trying to convince that he's quit.
But you're going to use Paul Heyman, of all people, delivering a written statement saying that Brock Lesnar quit to sell the fact that Brock Lesnar quit.
Yeah, he's represented Paul Heyman in the past. Some fans will recognize Paul Heyman as someone who has in the past spoken for Brock Lesnar.
Absolutely, but the problem is, why not have, Brock deliver this himself, almost, in my opinion? Everyone knows that Paul Heyman once spoke for Brock Lesnar and things like that. But, I'll be honest, last I heard, and this is the thing around the wrestling community, that Paul Heyman was blacklisted and no longer working for, the WWE, so...
Never believe everything you read on the internet. Haven't you learned this?
Here's the thing.
This is true. You got a point there. But why bring Paul Heyman out for that one itty bitty segment if they weren't intending on using him more in the future with Brock Lesnar?
How do we know that they're not?
Yeah. Money talks. Just because Heyman is supposedly blacklisted doesn't mean that they wouldn't bring him back in. And I bet if they wanted to bring Heyman in, they would just back a dump truck full of money up to his house and say, here you go. And Heyman be like, all right. Heyman is not about to turn up his nose at a deal.
Oh, hell no. To tell you the truth, I would rather have him in the background writing and creative than most of what I've seen now.
Oh, I doubt he's in creative at this point.
Yeah, they're not going to put him in creative.
I don't think Stephanie's going to, If he's back, I'm guessing, even though admittedly I don't know this for sure, I'm thinking purely on screen role. And there has been an attempt in the last few weeks to bring more managers back onto TV too.
Yeah, he definitely needs to be back on TV.
As your phone's cutting out on us again.
I agree that he needs to be back on TV, and it made me sad to a certain degree to hear him say something like this. Is this the only time I get to see Paul Heyman? And my heart is crying to say, no, please, I want more Heyman. I want more Heyman. I have repented of the days in which I hated Paul Heyman. It's like, okay, I forgive you now, Paul. You can come back. I'll take anything over the crap I'm seeing right now. Please come back. I actually wanted to watch Raw when you were on TV. Please, Paul, come back. Come back.
All right. Well, we're going to let you go because we have another call on the line, so we've got to let you go.
Peace out, ladies and gentlemen. Hey, I kept the two topics. I am very proud of myself.
Good job.
Good night, everybody.
Good job.
Right, good night.
That was the Phantom, everybody. We have another caller on the line. Caller, welcome to the WTR Raw Post Show.
How's it going, CD in Pittsburgh? First time calling.
Well, welcome to the show.
Thanks. I'll be at Raw next Monday in Pittsburgh, and I can tell you right now there's going to be a lot of people, including me, booing the hell out of John Laurinaitis, needless to say, in more ways
nice.
Than one. Well, like I said, I mean, I got to tell you what, guys. I mean, tonight's show was once again showing how badly booked up WWE is. I mean, it continues to be, every week it seems like, it is absolutely a pile of steaming monkey-ass crap, if you ask me. And it just goes to show that Vince obviously loves to have people like Michael Cole continue to suck up the laryngitis every week. I mean, here's an idea. Get rid of him as an announcer, okay? Please. I mean, first off, they haven't said anything in the last few weeks about the status of Josh Matthews or anything like that, however. And I guess they probably blew that off because they figure, oh, okay, we're going to have now laryngitis be our big central figurehead. I mean, I'm sorry. I mean, I was surprised as anyone tonight to see Paul Heyman on television. I mean, when he came out, I was like, what the F? Are you kidding me? I mean, this is, like, totally not cool. And I agree with what you said earlier. I would have loved to have seen the two scripts earlier today before this whole Heyman thing came about. But if you ask me, it just goes to show every week it's the same old suspects. And the one thing I got to ask you guys, maybe you guys can touch upon this too. You saw Abraham Washington with some of the guys in the back, like Primo, Epico, Mason Ryan, all those guys. Why is it that certain guys like those people, like say a Mason Ryan, like a Drew McIntyre, are always kept in the Superstars warm-up matches usually before Raw or SmackDown every week, and they always have to usually push the same suspects week after week? They just continue to not give the younger talent any more time at all except for the warm-ups. I mean, what do you guys think about that?
They don't have anything for them.
Well, that's their excuse.
I mean, honestly, their new gimmick for Drew McIntyre was they wanted to turn him gay, and if you've listened to the show for any amount of time, you heard my rant on that.
I heard something about that, and I think the biggest stupid thing they did was the whole Natalya stupid farting gimmick. We all know how that bad is.
Oh,
I mean,
God.
That was a joke. And talking about joke, the Divas division's a joke. I mean, when are they going to bring Karma back in? I thought Karma was supposed to be this big, strong force when she came in from TNA and knocking down people. And I understand she has personal issues with family, and that's understandable. But you know what? What have they done? They said any time now, we're going to bring you back. We're going to bring you back. Well, guess what? They haven't done it yet.
Did they say they were going to bring Karma back?
I think before WrestleMania, there was talk that she was going to be coming in as the new strong diva and just knocking out the Bellas or any other divas and become a champion.
But are we talking about WWE saying this or the internet saying WWE said this?
WWE and people on the internet were saying they were coming close to a deal because Karma said she was just about ready to go. Until her personal ordeal, I think WWE was the first people that said flat out, we're going to have something for Karma when she comes back. Maybe destroy the Bellas or someone else. And then, of course, you had that personal tragedy, and it's heartbreaking. I'm not ripping on it that much. I'm just saying it's very tragic, and I hope she comes back soon. But they're just, for the same certain people every week, it's the same suspects. Vince doesn't always do, and like I said, please, and like I already said earlier with Cole, fire him, but more so, please, 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 in a couple weeks, get rid of Laurinaitis. We don't need to see him on camera no more. He's driving the ratings down. They need to get a new GM in there who knows what to do, and I think that's what they have to do if they want to get the ratings to go up again, because they're making more and more every week a joke, a freaking joke. Because I'll tell you right now, they'll do a 3-1 tonight, and I'll tell you right now, they'll probably do a 3-0 next week in Pittsburgh. Guarantee it.
So who would you like to see replace John Laurinaitis?
Who would like to see someone like who's real smart enough by the book? I mean, I know he's not wrestling anymore. Get someone smart, like maybe Edge or Shawn Michaels. Someone who knows how to take care of the business. Someone who's popular with the younger talent. Someone who can actually run it with a fair ship.
Well, Edge's contract with WWE ran out. He's not with the company anymore. And Shawn has made it very clear that he wants to be with his family. He doesn't want to come back to a full-time schedule. So I'm afraid it won't be either of those two guys.
Well, like I said, I understand with both of them then. So they got to get someone else who can do better. I'm sorry. Maybe Stephanie, for instance. But Stiff's a mom and everything. But they got to get someone else who's better than this Joker. Seriously. Like JR. I mean, JR would be nice as far as GM, but I don't know if he would want to do it because of his schedule, too. But they got to do someone better than this whole ordeal. It's just like WCW 1999-2000. Bad booking. And it seems like Vince Russo's the one booking WWE rather than TNA, if you ask me.
Well, he's not booking either at the moment.
Yeah, he's
unemployed.
Yeah.
But I would have to agree with you there. But they're leading to something with John Laurinaitis just because Teddy Long is being kept around. So I would imagine, I would watch for Teddy Long to potentially replace Laurinaitis once they finally take him out of power.
Well, he should have stayed in power the whole time, but I guess they fear, oh, we're going to go fast, real fast backwards, basically, fast forward, mind you, and make Teddy Long sort of like John Laurinaitis' bitch, let's just say. And that's what
Pretty
they're
much.
Trying to do.
Pretty much, yeah.
But like I said, I'm a first-time caller, guys. I mean, I'll hopefully try to get on next week if I can when I'm at Ron Pitch, but if not, I'll try it eventually the following. But I just want to get my two cents in with you guys, and like I said, I mean, if you ever need ranting, raving guy like me, I'm one of them because I have a ton of wrestling DVDs, but like I said, I'm just sick of the way WWE booking has been the last few years. It's continuing to become a joke. It's becoming a farce. It's absolutely a crime. And like I said, Cole is one of the people that is a crime. Get rid of him.
Well, bookmark the website, wildtalkradio.com, and join us every day, just about. We have programming every single day on the Wild Talk Radio Network. So thank you for calling in tonight.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
So there we go. We have
first time callers
tonight. If you would like to give us a call, it's 267-297-1397. You can let your voice be heard.
And can I just add, can we get a female WWE fan to call in? I mean,
yes, if you exist, please.
If you exist, call. We want to hear from the female fans. Jesus Christ. It's like there's got to be other female WWE fans in the world besides me and Lindsay and Norma. And Brianna.
Are you begging for female callers? Really?
Yes. We need a stronger female presence in WWE and WTR. Call in. We will have cupcakes and we will talk about the hot guys at WWE. Call in.
I said Jersey. You may not have heard me, but I did say Jersey.
Yes, in Jersey.
But
so
where were we?
We were up to the first matchup of the evening. We had Cody Rhodes versus the Big Show for the Intercontinental Championship, which saw Cody Rhodes tuck his tail between his legs and walk away.
Can I just bitch about something first?
Sure.
The segment that happened before this where John Laurinaitis yelled at Show, and Show made fun of Laurinaitis, and Eve caught him and glared at him. Who the fuck died and made that bitch queen? Last I checked, an executive assistant, or whatever the hell her title is, does not have the authority to fire anyone.
Yeah, let me put it to you this way.
Or threaten that kind of action.
Yeah, I'm basically an executive administrator for the assistant dean of graduate nursing at my local university, and I can't fire or suspend anybody. That position is just basically in a way to get Eve on TV in a short skirt and a pair of glasses. And I'm not buying it.
Yeah, honey. The fact that you're dressing like a slut doesn't get covered up by the glasses. You know, you could dress a little, you were doing fine last week, but a crotch length skirt and your boobs hanging out? Yeah, no. I dare you to walk into corporate and try and pull that off and see if that happens. Go look at the way the chicks dress in corporate and then, yeah.
Yeah, because I tell you what, the administrative assistants at my office, we all dress like that.
Yes, her dictation of John Laurinaitis must be better than mine, and I can suck a golf ball through a garden hose, so.
Says cranky asshole, yes.
Says cranky asshole, so all I can say is Eve must be able to suck a golf ball through a straw.
The world is cranially challenged today, Lindsay.
I know the world is cranially challenged. But anyway, moving on.
Moving right along, Eve comes out and tells Big Show to apologize. I never thought I would see the day where the Big Show would be apologizing to Eve Torres.
That was crap. That was complete crap.
That was crap. Dude, all Show would have had to say is fuck you and go to TNA. And the board of directors would have gotten involved and told her to fuck off.
You know what? All Show had to do is be like, you know what? Fine. I'll take it up with the executive vice president of talent relations, John Laurinaitis. Because you don't control that. That's all he had to do. That's all he had to say is basically tell her to fuck off, that she had no power. Because she doesn't. I mean, I'm sorry. The fact that you have her out there demanding to get an apology. It's like, you know what? Fuck you, honey. get your ass in the back and get back on your goddamn knees.
In front of somebody, please.
Can you tell we don't like this?
Yeah, no. Eve's getting on her nerves.
I have a feeling Thursday on the Rack at 11 p.m. Eastern, we'll be talking more about Eve.
Well, depends on what she does in the next 3 days and how pissed off I am on Thursday.
I have a hunch. I just have a hunch we're going to be talking about it Thursday, 11 p.m. Eastern. Up next, after the apology, which makes my headache even harder, worse, whatever, we had Kofi Kingston versus Dolph Ziggler, where Vicky tried to do some sort of introduction, and that made me shake my head, apparently. But,
and we had no ass cape tonight. I was very disappointed.
I know you were. No ass cape for Dolph Ziggler. But he did get the victory over Kofi Kingston.
I was kind of disappointed knowing that Dolph Ziggler truly is one of the best talents that WWE has right now. I would have liked to see him get a clean win just because I know he can. But, yeah, no.
I'm ready for them to split Ziggler off of Vicky and Swagger. I really am. I love Vicky. I think she's a great manager for what she does. And they make a great stable, but Ziggler's ready to go to the next level, and they need to move him. And having him where he is right now just doesn't do it for me. I would love to see him go to the main event.
We had a Mason Ryan sighting on Raw, and over the weekend, he was the bodyguard for Dolph Ziggler, so maybe we're seeing something.
Yeah, maybe we're going to see a split, but Ziggler doesn't need... You see, here's the thing. Ziggler can stand on his own. He's got the mic skills, he's got the wrestling skills, and he's got the look. He's pretty much a complete package where wrestling is concerned, so he doesn't really need anyone else to help him get over. He's over.
Right.
They just need to give him the opportunity to move up and put him into that more lower main event where he's facing, you know, maybe move him over to SmackDown and have him work against Sheamus or Daniel Bryan or whoever's going to hold that belt next and run a feud with them and then maybe bring him back to Raw or keep him over on SmackDown. Because he could credibly hold the belt. He actually technically has held the belt once.
Right.
So he is a credible champion. You could have him hold the belt again and he would be fine. But
Oh, go ahead.
I was going to say, but on that note, it was nice to see him actually pick up a win and not lay down for the Funkasaurus.
Did anyone else notice the way Abraham Washington basically fell in love and had an orgasm when Mason Ryan walked into the room?
No.
Primo beat him to it, actually.
Yeah, Primo. Did you see the picture? Shane Helms on Twitter captured a picture. So we're going back to find it.
I was like, oh my god, when someone like Mason Ryan walks into a room and Abraham Washington reacts the same way Lindsay and I would, maybe Drew McIntyre should not be the one pulling off the gay gimmick, just saying.
Jackie, take a look at that picture that I just posted to the chat room as well, if you like.
I got access denied.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, stupid thing then. But anyway, it's Shane Helm. If you follow Shane Helms on Twitter, you can find it. There you go. But, so this is where I'm going to put it up on the feed now, too. So people checking out the feed can see it as well.
I can't wait to look.
So if you see there on the feed, you can clearly see Primo seemed impressed.
Primo seemed in love.
He seemed really in love with.
For some reason, it's taken the file transfer taking a minute, but don't move on. I want to see.
I know, that's why I was stalling.
Yeah, we're stalling. By the way, Rosa Mendez, your dress was positively hideous.
Yeah, just saying.
So now you see it.
Yeah, if memory serves, Abraham Washington had his finger in his mouth.
But Shane Helms on Twitter goes, Primo checking out the mantids equals pop of the night so far.
Yeah, I'll give the boys due. He's pretty hot.
Mason isn't bad. He reminds me too much of Batista, and I just can't get behind that. I really can't. He's got a nice voice, but yeah, I just... Bautista, no. All he needs is a big-ass tattoo on his back, and yeah, they've got Dave Batista, except maybe less of a dick.
They've not really done anything with Mason Ryan to separate him from David Batista. It's like maybe if they actually did something with him, we'd see something, see some kind of individuality in Mason Ryan. But he's been on, before this, when was the last time he was on TV?
I don't know. I can't remember.
Yeah, it's been a while. So.
I think he technically made it on TV when Brock and Cena had to be separated.
Oh.
Maybe.
Technicalities.
And last year.
Any time putting any investment into his character.
Well, it goes back to what the caller was saying. You know, they don't put time or effort into the younger guys. You know, they don't build the younger guys. I mean, you've got Ziggler, who's kind of stalled out. Swagger's stalled out. And, you know, remember a couple of years ago, Swagger was your world heavyweight champion.
Yep.
They've pushed Miz down to the point of nothingness. They're kind of focusing on that upper echelon again, which is fine, but you know what? Bring guys up into that upper echelon.
Speaking of upper echelon, we had Michael Cole in the ring and playing the part of The Rock this evening, bringing it via satellite, John Cena.
I laugh my ass off at that.
Oh, Johnny.
I have another rant about this.
Go ahead.
Since when does the board of directors listen to talent concerning punishment for behavior, especially for punishment for executives? Just curious, when does the board of directors listen to anybody else about that? John Cena has a hell of a lot more stroke in that company than we ever thought he did. Or somebody's been dipping in the wacky tobacco again. Because as far as any company I know, when an executive is involved and the board has to get involved, they don't ask the other person. They just act.
He strongly recommended to, you know, the board that, you know, he would be the one to deal with John Laurinaitis. And he didn't want him to be fired. He wanted to take him out at over the limit.
You know what? They could have easily stripped him of his powers.
That's what we wish would have happened.
We wish that would have happened, or, you know, reprimanded him, or put him, basically, if he loses the match, he's suspended, or he's fired, or whatever, just to add that stipulation to the match. Obviously, they're not ready to pull the trigger on that. But just, it's kind of ridiculous, at least to me, for John Cena to go to the board and say, yeah, don't do anything, I'm going to kick his ass over the limit, and the board's like, yeah, okay, go for it.
Right.
You know, it's a little ridiculous. It's, you know what, he could have said, I went to COO Triple H and asked Triple H to speak to the board on my behalf to recommend that I be the one to handle John Laurinaitis, and, you know, or Triple H greenlighted it or whatever. You know, you didn't even have to necessarily involve the board, just have Triple H greenlight John Cena kicking John Laurinaitis' ass.
But Lindsay, you're forgetting this one key fact. Triple H was busy this weekend hanging out with Justin Bieber.
Yes, I know he was busy hanging out with Justin Bieber. Maybe Cena could have gotten an autograph.
I think even worse, John Cena and Justin Bieber hanging out together would be worse.
I think the world would implode.
Yeah. John Cena brought it via satellite during Raw, but after all, it beat Kane. Moving right along, Kelly and Layla took on Natty and Maxine.
Wait, what? Go back!
Say that again.
What? I said Kelly and Layla.
Kane after Raw?
Oh, yeah. Kane lost what? To Cena after Raw.
Oh, I'm so shocked.
Oh, my God.
I told you they were there.
The whole world is cranially challenged today, I swear to God.
Yes.
I thought I could slip that in without catching it. I guess I'm wrong.
You say the word Kane, and both of us are just, our ears are trained to hear it. It's like a dog whistle. We just hear it, and it's like, huh?
Kane. All right. We had...
But...
Yeah, Kelly.
Can I say one more thing about that segment?
Go ahead.
Why the fuck did you have Michael Cole interviewing him in the ring? Could they not have pre-shot this, or quote-unquote pre-shot it, and played it where you have Cena and Cole sitting in a nice room having a nice interview instead of having Cole act like a douche on the mic in the middle of the ring interviewing John Cena via satellite?
Well, what else does Cole do but act like a douche?
At least he could do it in an interview room, and he would, we wouldn't be hearing him do commentary. You know, there was the odd chance that, you know, Cena might take him out in the interview room.
Or you know, you have this interview guy, this interviewer, this announcer guy on your speed dial that you get a call and say, "Hey, JR, come to Raw so you could pre-tape something where, you know, with you and Cena and make it, put it over, and it's important."
You know. Seriously.
I would have liked that.
But then again, they rewrote the show 3 times.
Yeah. And by the way, to answer the caller's question, Josh Matthews is fine, as he just did the new episode of Are You Serious.
And wasn't
he's
he,
fine.
Wasn't he on SmackDown?
Yeah, and he was on SmackDown. He's fine.
He's fine. Kelly and Layla took on Natalya Neidhart and Maxine. Highlights, Beth was on commentary.
Beth looked good tonight.
Talking up her match with Layla at the pay-per-view, and then Natty took a stupid bump off the ring apron. That just annoyed me, because it's a bump where she could get hurt.
Okay, Rock, I have a question for you. Lindsay brought up an interesting question to me, and probably going to get a man's opinion on this. Did Kelly's boobs get bigger?
I didn't notice.
Yeah, it looked like she may have had herself enhanced a little bit.
Well, she hasn't been on TV in a few weeks, so...
That could explain it. Okay, poll the chat room. Did Kelly's boobs look bigger? Somebody had to notice.
Well, she hit 25, and you know what happens to women in the WWE when they get close to the big 3-0, as far as on-screen talent's concerned, anyway.
Brian and Kane can say yes, a little bit.
Okay. We noticed she wasn't wearing her usual little skanky top, that she was actually wearing a decent top. So, yeah. That's the only thing. By the way, Natty gets the jobber entrance again.
Yeah, bull.
and she took a stupid bump, and that's, you know, she didn't even get in the match. She just took a stupid bump where she could get hurt.
And we finally got some TV time for Maxine, and it was bad. It was like bullshit.
I don't. Anyway, Layla won.
Surprise of surprise, Layla won.
Layla won. And, yeah. Moving along, they gave us a really good tag team match. Sheamus and Randy Orton took on Chris Jericho and Alberto Del Rio. Thoughts?
Yeah. This was actually a decent match. It was one of the highlights of the night. It was one of the better things they did tonight, even if it was kind of an odd grouping. It was a good tag match, which is rare for WWE.
Right.
And again, we got no Kane.
No Kane. Jackie Smash. No Kane.
Chris Jericho. Sheamus goes for the bro kick. Jericho moved. He kicked Orton. Jericho hit the code breaker on Sheamus and scored the pin. Afterward, Sheamus helped Orton up, and he took an RKO for his trouble. So
wait. Let me show you my surprise face.
Wait, do that again. I missed it. There. Okay.
And clip?
And I don't know. I don't know.
I mean, I could fake an orgasm if you want.
No, Omega said no.
Well, we want to get the ratings up, but, you know, we already have plans for that. Goofy game show nights coming.
What are we gonna do? Put John Laurinaitis on our shows?
No, we're doing Goofy game show nights. Remember that?
We're gonna have live sex.
Who? She said we. I'm like, oh my god.
Tim and Alan.
Get that out of your head, people.
Very funny, Blotty. I saw that. Damn you, reading my Facebook.
Oh, yeah, you posted it on Facebook. The better reaction was last night after it happened.
Oh, God. Freaked me out.
So, they end up in the back. You know, Jericho bitching to Laurinaitis if he wants a match. Del Rio says he's the number one contender, yada, yada, yada. get a brawl in the back with all four, and then we get the match. It's now a four-way dance, fatal four-way at Over the Limit.
And once again, the executive vice president of talent relations has four talents break out in a fight in front of him, and he does absolutely nothing!
Well, he doesn't want to get hurt. He's in training. He doesn't want to injure himself before his big main event match at Over the Limit.
He's a pussy.
Yeah.
I'm trying to make an excuse.
Don't make excuses for him. He's not worth it.
So, yeah, we have a fatal four-way. We'll talk about that more next week on the shows. Next, we had Brodus Clay.
The Funkadactyls get their own intro now?
Apparently.
Yeah, that Funkadactyl's name is dumb. Sorry.
Put Hornswoggle back with him. I liked it when he had Hornswoggle.
Can I get a consensus of the chat room? Am I the only one who thinks that the name Funkadactyls is kind of retarded?
We'll wait for that, but Brodus Clay came up and he fought The Miz. And
thank you, Kane Kittens.
The Miz tried to get a decent match out of the Brodus Clay.
He tried. He failed, but he tried.
We're seeing the limitations of Brodus Clay. We're kind of seeing it. He's not that great.
He's really... Brodus Clay is great for the kids. I'm sure he will be wonderful in the merchandise department. But, yeah, it would be more to... It would be better to use him as, like, just... Kind of like what they do with Kali, a one-and-done, where they have him in for a few minutes, and then they get rid of him, and then he comes back and he dances at the end. Kind of like what they used to do with Rikishi.
He's more of a house show talent.
He's
perfect for house shows.
Yes.
So, yeah, Brodus Clay won. He beat The Miz. Not surprised.
Oh, how far you've fallen, Miz.
So who's going to be, you guys think, who's going to be the one to be the first to offer, to successfully offer Brodus Clay a loss? I mean, you know just about anybody on the, anyone with any legitimate wrestling ability could beat him.
I don't know.
It depends on what they do with him. That's the whole thing, is right now they're pushing him to the moon, and yeah.
I look at that roster and go, I don't want to see him fight anyone.
I would, yeah, Big Show maybe.
I don't know, I wouldn't mind seeing him face Daniel Bryan. I want to see how he would handle an actual wrestler, just saying.
Up next, we
probably
had
not well.
Probably not well. I thinking about that gives me a headache. Moving along, he says, they recapped what happened with Triple H and Brock Lesnar last week. They showed off the brace. Clearly, he has a brace. It's
way to sell it now.
Yeah, he has it. And then I have received a tweet from CM Punk. He's been hanging out with somebody. What was his name? Oh, right. Paul effing Heyman.
Now, Rock, you being an ECW guy, just how loud did you squee when Paul Heyman came out?
About as loud as the rest of the IWC when that fucker happened.
I was like, you know, Rock is an ECW guy, so you know that the minute that picture came up, Rock just squeed to high heaven. He probably put us to shame.
I wrote to Lindsay, he better not be lying.
Yeah, we were talking about it because Rock sent me that picture, and I was just as excited because it was like, oh my God, they finally listened to the internet and they brought in Paul Heyman. Yes. Please, for the love of God, please let this be legit. And sure enough, out comes Heyman.
As the legal representative of Brock Lesnar.
We'll see if he saves the Lesnar angle, Brian. I'm not entirely sure yet. It depends on if it's a one-off or if it's a legit, he's going to continue on. Because if they have Paul Heyman now as Brock Lesnar's mouthpiece, a fucking man, that yes, he's going to save it.
This was the first segment on Raw that actually had me glued to the television.
Yeah, I mean, you're sitting there and it's like it's Paul Heyman. You don't give a crap what he's going to say. It's Paul Heyman. Everybody bow down and worship.
He basically put over Brock Lesnar, which Paul Heyman knows how to do. And then he pulls out the official statement from Brock Lesnar and says, and I quote...
Which I laughed my ass. Do you notice he looked at Michael Cole when he said it?
Yeah.
Maybe Paul Heyman was the anonymous general manager.
Maybe he was.
The anonymous general manager was kind of a douche, just saying.
So he says, and I quote, I came back to bring legitimacy to the WWE. That's exactly what I did. And how I was rewarded with the same corporate BS and politics that led me to leave 8 years ago. I don't regret what I did to John Cena. I embarrassed him. Another guy embarrassed was Triple H. He has always been jealous of me. Triple H lasted 1 hour in the cell with The Undertaker, but couldn't last 1 minute in a fight with me. Triple H tried to push his weight around because now he has an office job. I had an agreement with the company, and he broke it, so I broke his arm. I don't care about Triple H, I don't care about you people, and I don't care about the corporate suits at WWE, because I, Brock Lesnar, am never coming back. Because I, Brock Lesnar, quit.
And you know what all that...
He said his name twice.
Yeah, it's... And you know all that paper really said was Brock smash, Brock quit. Paul Heyman had
I don't play with you guys no more.
I'm taking my ball and I'm going back home to Mommy Rena.
I liked Heyman taking little shots and, you know, smirks at, you know, the... how WWE has changed and stuff. Paul Heyman was fantastic tonight.
Go ahead.
No, I was going to say go ahead.
Does anyone really believe that Brock Lesnar was capable of forming those string of sentences?
That's why you have legal counsel. They write they write it up for you.
So they're not just managers anymore. Abraham Washington is a talent something or other. And Paul Heyman is a legal advisor. I did not know that Paul Heyman had the credentials to be somebody's legal advisor.
Well, he kind of was. I think that was his role back in the day with Brock Lesnar.
So he was never Brock Lesnar's manager by general wrestling terms.
I
forget what Paul Heyman was, but he was not Brock's manager. He was his advisor, but I don't remember if he was legal. Because that's something that's actually went shoot when Brock quit. And Heyman has kind of sort of orchestrated Brock's career since he left.
Yeah, Paul Heyman has always sort of been Brock's advisor in some sort of capacity. So it's you know...
Oh, Brian, oh my God.
So, well, I haven't... Not gonna go there. I'm gonna stay away.
Well, there's no point. Tim's not here.
Apparently, he can multitask in his listening. I didn't make the comment. Just saying.
He's not reading the chat room, and he's not.
No, but anyway, Paul Heyman's always been the advisor of Brock Lesnar, so calling him legal advisor is no real stretch there, and. Even the caller says he was blacklisted. There were reports that came out over the weekend that Paul Heyman has been working with Brock and has been in his ear and has been directing him on things and been handling the whole Brock character in some fashion. Or at least telling Brock things to tell them and, you know, how to portray his character.
Yeah, I mean,
Heyman knows Brock.
Heyman knows Brock, and Heyman, when Brock left, and all throughout Brock's UFC career, Heyman promoted the crap out of him. So I think Heyman is, in some way, Brock's legit manager. And that's why everybody was waiting for Heyman to show up, because we all knew that Heyman was in Brock's ear. We just didn't know when Brock was going to get him back in, because Heyman was blacklisted by the WWE. Mm-hmm. Stephanie was the one that took him out. So that was like the whole deal was, is hell going to freeze over? Is Stephanie going to, you know, suck it up and bring Heyman back?
And the old saying for Vince McMahon, what's good for business, Vince always does. He can let hard feelings go if it's good for business. And having Paul Heyman with Brock is good.
It's very good.
For business.
Yes.
Very good for business.
Because if nobody learned their lesson from the two times they gave him a mic, no. Bad WWE. Bad.
Yeah.
The only thing that would have made it better was to have Heyman show up last week or have Heyman open Raw. Because have Heyman walk out and look at John Laurinaitis, look him square in the eye, and say, you broke the deal, you fucked up, Brock and Brock's done.
We may get that next week.
Imagine what last week, the ending, not last week's Raw, but the Raw before, when they made the mistake of giving Lesnar a mic for 10 minutes. Imagine how much better that would have been
if
it had been Heyman sitting across from John Laurinaitis.
No,
it would have been amazing.
No, you still have Brock sitting there, and you have Heyman on a mic being the one to make the demands.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's like, that would have been awesome, but... My wish for next week on Raw is Heyman to show up and get into it with Triple H. Just putting that out there.
Which, it will probably happen since for whatever reason Triple H is going to be live on Raw next week and there were no repercussions this week. Yeah. And there were no repercussions on SmackDown. Yeah. You know, you have a guy attack the COO of the company and you let him quit. Okay.
Shall we move along so you don't blow a gasket?
Yeah.
Backstage, we had two USA Network actors talk with Big Show. And they start doing a Laurinaitis impression. Show laughs and Eve goes there and... Yeah. Then... there's nothing to address there. Then...
Nothing of value was lost.
Then Jerry the King Lawler teases, as CM Punk does, the main eventers walk to the ring, that he's coming out for his 2-on-1 handicap match against Lord Tensai next. Wait, what?
Yeah.
Oops.
Wasn't spoiled for the live crowd.
Because then you see CM Punk makes his way to the ring, and then Laurinaitis announces, it's a handicap match. So, you know.
It's
consistency. Mm.
Brian, I have to agree with you. A Paul Heyman CM Punk promo showdown would be epic, but we will never get it.
They've been buddy-buddy all day, apparently. And side note, he didn't do the weather.
I know!
Damn it.
I'm so disappointed.
Anyway...
Get it trending on Twitter. CM, hashtag WWE people do the weather.
Anyway, your main event of the evening, CM Punk taking on Daniel Bryan and Laura Tensai in a handicap match. Finish saw Laura Tensai botching a double-handed powerbomb and then doing the claw hold thingy and pinning the WWE champion.
You know, I understand they're trying to build Tensai, but Daniel Bryan was right there, and Daniel Bryan is facing CM Punk in, what, 2 weeks at the pay-per-view, so I don't know, wouldn't it have made fucking sense to have Bryan get the pin, or the tap, or whatever you want to call it? Because, yeah, he's the competitor, not Tensai. To have Tensai pick up the victory, that's kind of crap.
After the match... Bryan goes on the attack and locks in the yes lock on CM Punk. And that's
which was,
the end of Raw. Go ahead.
Which was fine, but they could have achieved it simply by, again, having Tensai beat the crap out of Punk for however long he did, and then Bryan sneaks in for the pin, or he gets Punk to submit. And that helps build their feud. I mean... The fact that you have Bryan in the match and he puts the lapel lock on afterwards, yeah, okay, but that, you know, that softens Punk up, but, you know, that doesn't really do much to you know, continue the feud. Doesn't add much firepower to it, other than, oh, ha ha, I got my submission hold on you.
I hope we get more build between the two next week, and they should, because they have a match, you know.
Well, over the past two Raws, I mean, they really haven't done much of any build for really any of matches. I mean, the most build they did last week was they established Bryan as the number one contender, and then this week, yeah, they were in a match together, but there wasn't really much interaction between the two. And I hope something happens next week.
Here's hoping,
but I mean, the last two Raws have seemed really just random.
Well, tonight was an interesting Raw, as we were mentioning, we talked about earlier. It'd be interesting to see how the show turns out, whether it's good or bad, because it's been rewritten multiple times. So you have to wonder what was good, what was bad, what did they take out, what was. I don't know.
Well, one of the things that kind of frustrates me about this whole episode, well, at least the last part of it, was, I don't know what you guys think, but personally, I don't think Laura Tensai is going to work the way it is now. And I don't see this going over the way it is. So the way that I see it, they're pushing someone who should not be pushed in the first place. And I mean, you look at what they did. They gave Laura Tensai a win on CM Punk. Really? I mean, you pushed him over Cena and CM Punk, and this character's not going to, I mean, this was just a waste.
They're trying their best to get him over.
Yeah, no, sorry. I mean, I realize that to a certain extent, I probably sound hypocritical because I was the one saying that WWE is not giving up enough characters. But you don't win them all, and you lost this one.
This is okay. What you get, Jackie. You ask and you shall receive, and this is what you get.
And I'm still bitching. I know. I just don't think this one went over. And so let's just send Albert back to the drawing board. Do something else.
If they did something more with just having him just, you know, come out and do Tensai Smash, then it would help, because it's, you know what? You have him have his worshiper, servant, whatever he is. You know, he doesn't cut promos, he doesn't talk, and I think that's part of the problem is he's not talking. And when he does talk, he yells in inaudible, ununderstandable Japanese, which nobody, unless you speak it, understands it, which means we may need to get Omega to translate. But yeah, it's, you know, part of this is, yeah, you can go out there and be like, ooh, Tensai Smash, Tensai Kill, I spit in my hand and you die. That's great, except he needs to be able to talk too. He needs to be able to get over. At this point, as we all know, he's Albert. He's been established that he was here before. He went over there and he adopted the Japanese culture, but there's been no further explanation as to why. There's been no reason for us to believe that he invested in this, that he dresses the way he does, he's got the tattoos on his face, you know, he talks in Japanese, the whole bit has not been explained, and they need to explain it a little bit more than what they have.
Really, they've not put enough investment into the character of Lord Tensai, but they're going to have the likes of John Cena and CM Punk job to him. Why? You've not put enough work into this character for it to merit a loss from these two people.
Yeah, when you have your champion lay down for this guy, that's a pretty big deal. Especially when he's not even really facing the champion. It's just, it's a one-off match because Johnny Laurinaitis got his panties in a wad and decided he wanted to punish CM Punk.
Well, we shall see what they do from here on out with the character. I don't know. Apparently, I should have been following CM Punk on Twitter all day. Apparently, he said a lot of comments. Now he's apologizing for them. But he also made this comment about 4 hours ago. And let's see where it was. Trust me when I say this, Raw will be fantastic. Hashtag rumors, hashtag surprises. And he then said, I love knowing stuff nobody knows. God damn you, CM Punk.
Yeah, he does that shit to us on purpose.
And he was right. It was... There was a big surprise.
There was a big surprise, but Raw was not fantastic. I'm sorry. I'm sure some people really liked it. I'm sure a lot of people really hated it. For me, it was just kind of eh. Again, it was just, it's like they really didn't do much to further storylines. They really, it just felt really just blah. I mean, again, I would have loved to have seen the original draft they had in comparison to what they came up with. Because you knew Heyman was on all three drafts. They had to fly him in for this show.
No Kane.
Yeah, and we got no Kane, which is bullshit. And we know he was there because he was in the dark match. But, so, yeah, I mean, it's just this Raw just felt very...
Average.
Average, very, even, I would say, a little below average. I mean, it, again, it's very Laurinaitis heavy, which I don't really appreciate. John, he just does nothing for me. I mean, I know he's supposed to be a heel, and I don't like him anyway, but he just, he does nothing for me. He is just, Mike Adamly was better than he was. He
oh
is.
Oh, God.
I mean, it's just, yeah, he just, no. No, 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 no. So, I don't know. This Raw gave me a headache. I was ready to turn it off by the first hour. I really didn't even want to watch the second hour. It's just, and I'm trying to be positive. I really am, but in watching that, it just, it gave me really bad feelings about this upcoming pay-per-view. It really did.
Well, we'll get into the pay-per-view in the coming days ahead on the multiple shows we do here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. But that's Raw, and I have a time limit, don't I? I have to wrap up?
You do?
We can go until about 11:20.
I don't have anything else to say.
Well, fine. Fuck you.
It's called Poster Chat. We're done Raw. We're done Raw. That's all this is. The Raw show. We gotta save everything else for Thursday.
Why? What's Thursday?
I think we do a show, don't we?
Do we?
I think.
It's called What's The Ruck, called? Right?
What's it called again?
The Ruck.
The Ruck?
The Ruck. The Ruck? I don't think that's right.
No, what is it?
The Boobies?
The Boobies? The Boobies?
Who let Tim Stein name our show?
Vince Russo?
Oh my, I swear I have to find a song now, because I have the perfect song for this. I just gotta make sure I pull up the right one.
God. He's getting musically creative.
Well, tonight, maybe it'll match the Cranially Challenge night.
Take a listen to this a little bit. Hope this is the right version.
I say you're the expert when it comes to getting the job. Nothing wrong with me.
But don't worry, we get trouble. We can use stuff into the mass blast of the flotation device. It's got to get
now. Let the boobies hit the floor. Let the boobies hit the floor.
Oh, God.
The fact that you have that terrifies me to no end.
I wish I could find somewhere in the world a man or a woman that could explain to me the fascination that men have with boobies. Seriously.
It starts from infancy and it just grows.
Yeah. I've never met a woman as obsessed with anything as men are with boobies.
Well, we're pretty obsessed with Kane, are you sure?
I don't even necessarily know that we're as bad. You will not find any songs in the world where we are chanting Kane in the middle of the song.
They haven't been created yet, but they could be.
Yeah. But if we're not actually doing it, you're just being a dick, and you're going to create it.
Well, I could. Anyway, so I'm going to play our wrap-up song, and we can get out of here. But, yeah, there's a show we do Thursdays, but we'll get there. Tuesday night, it's Kayfabe Wrestling Radio with, what's his name, Alan Wojcik. And he talks Crossfire Wrestling with three guests. Do you remember the name for her, Lindsay?
Hammerjack, Shane Williams, and Eric Andrews. Go listen, because Shane Williams and Eric Andrews are awesome. Hammerjack, I could give a fuck about because I never saw him. So, but Shane Williams and Eric Andrews, are a win. Go listen.
Yes, because the producer won't be. I'm going to be watching. I'm watching hockey and basketball. I have playoff distractions. Anyway, check it out. 9 p.m. Eastern. It's KFAM Wrestling Radio. The most irrelevant show known to mankind is Wednesday night at 8:30 p.m. Eastern, when it's just another goddamn wrestling show. At 8:30 p.m. Eastern, with Brian Boddy, Jed Schaefer, and the Cheap Wood paneling. Thursday night, it's
I'm telling you, it's The Rock.
I think it's The Rack, isn't it?
Right, that's it, The Rack.
Is it The Rack?
The Rack. With
some bitch and some slut.
With the bitch and the slut, it's The Rack. Thursday.
A couple of pussies, you know. And by the way, my birthday was awesome. Thank you very much for asking. And it was actually Wednesday. It was not Thursday, but thank you for asking. It was amazing.
Yes. The stalking great Rack.
Yes, Stalking Great Rack. Thank you, King Kittens. Thank you, Brian.
So, yeah, it's The Rack with Lindsay and Jackie, and we do the Squee of the Week, Kane, and the Chic Tweet of the Week, easy for me to say, and Foreplay, and all that other fun stuff. Saturday night, it's CB Radio, midnight-ish. We talk about the weird, the wacky, and the unusual. And Sunday night, 11 p.m. Eastern, we'll be back on the airwaves with Wrestle Talk Radio covering TNA Sacrifice.
We better get Kane on SmackDown this week. If not, I'm going to drive to Stanford and find out what the fuck's going on up there.
No shit.
And then we'll be back next Monday night for the WTR Raw show, as we cover everything that happens on the lovely Monday Night Raw. So for the lovely ladies of the Boob Show. Ladies of the Boob Show. The Rack, Lindsay and Jackie, where you can find them on Twitter at Jackie Feist and at Linsward, LINSWARD. Send Lindsay a wink. She gets a kick out of it. Follow us at Wild Talk Radio. We'll see you.
Only if you're Drew McIntyre.
Yes, only if you're Drew McIntyre.
We'll see you next week for the WTR Raw Post Show, live right here on Wild Talk Radio Network.
Bye.